Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
I think it's true maybe for men, maybe more than women. I was sort of raised in a generation to where really there was a lot of men that didn't show affection.
You can see here, I've got a huge box. And you know what's in here? All the letters and keepsakes that you have written me over the years.
Oh my gosh.
When the hope of spring seems so far away, I love you, Kent. Oh my gosh, you need to work for Hallmark.
Howdy, my name is Kent Rawlings. I've been a cowboy and a chuck wagon cook for over 30 years, cooking for ranches all across America. You might have seen me on the Food Network or alongside my beautiful wife, Shannon, on our YouTube show, where we share cowboy cooking from the trail. But now we're going to take you behind the scenes to real campfire conversations. Join us as we share humor, cowboy wisdom, and stories full of history, heart, faith, and of course, a little fire. So grab you a cup of coffee, pull up a chair, and welcome to the podcast.
Kent.
Yes, ma'am.
Today, I actually have a visual aid I brought.
Oh my gosh, I like visual aids. Oh, food.
Oh.
No food?
If you are watching on YouTube, you can see here, I've got a huge box. It's my collectible box. And you know what's in here?
I have an idea, but I'm not for sure.
All the letters and keepsakes that you have written me over the years.
Oh my gosh.
Because Kent is a writer. I think that's kind of like your love language, right? And so
yes, ma'am.
I've got letters and cards and pictures. You even wrote something on a napkin to the best wife ever. Maybe I should leave this out and you can remember this. So why was it important to you to write things to me versus just giving me a call or a text?
Well, there were so many times I was in a location that there wasn't Pony Express electricity or anything else, you know. And after cowboys would ride out of camp, I'd have some time. I could just grab an old piece of paper or even part of an old feed sack and write something, you know, because it was a lot of times easier for me to write something than to actually say it. And I learned that, I think, losing my dad through cancer, you know, in that big, long fight and that battle. And I didn't really talk to people about how I was feeling, but I wrote it down. And I think the art of writing letters to communicate with people has slowly faded away.
Well, I think I was talking to somebody, or maybe I read an article, that there is this whole growing movement about bringing the art of letter writing back. So I thought, hey, let's talk about that. Not only just letter writing, but just kind of the old trades that have supposedly died out that are having this revival.
Yeah.
Whether it's just like playing games together or sharing food together or taking down screen time. So we're going to kind of dive into that in this episode a little bit more.
Are we going to read some of them letters?
Well, so this first one I popped up here, I remember you gave this to me with a bouquet.
A shadow box too.
It was kind of like a shadow box. And it was a bouquet of just wild sage, was it?
Well, it was dead sage and dead broom weeds wrapped with a piece of baler twine, but then interlaced back through itself. Because even in the coldest and hardest times of winter, there is beauty. And that's what you were to me. And when you don't tie a knot in something, it's never in the way.
It's never
It's not a burden, not something that's hard on your hands or hard on your heart. The only knot I ever tied was the knot I tied when I fell in love with you.
This episode's going to get sappy, folks. I'm going to tell you, because you are very romantic. So this one says, I love you very much. And this little winter bouquet is for you. So you gave it to me
Yes.
sometime in the winter. Because in the most barren of times, there is still beauty. You, Miss Keller, which was my maiden name, are that beauty amongst the darkness and coldest of times when the hope of spring seems so far away. I love you, Kent. Oh my gosh, you need to work for Hallmark.
Well, I remember, you know, when I seen that morning, and I'd been feeding cows with cold and snowing, and I rode by there on a horse and got off and picked them. And I'm thinking, you know what would really make this nice if it was in a little shadow box, mm-hmm. you know? So I dug around out there in this old place I was living at the time, found a cigar box, you know, cut the lid out of it. Then I found some old strapped overalls and glued them in the back and stuck them flyers in there with mm-hmm. that note and sent her off.
I still have the bouquet too. I will take a picture and put that up there. Okay, I'm going to set this down for just a minute, but we are actually going to come back to this big old box. So I want to go in because I think this is really interesting that we're having this revival. And I looked up some statistics because it says, so this shouldn't surprise anybody. 3% of the mail we get today are only like personal letters. The rest of it is all
junk and bills.
Junk and bills, business communications, yes. letters, advertising, stuff like that. And so here's what's crazy is I still look forward to the mail.
Oh, yes.
Don't you?
Yes.
And like, I'm sure you at home, like, hey, did you check the mail today? Because even though you know 90% of it or even 90% of the time it's just going to be junk, you still have this like anticipation. And if you think back to way back in the old Pony Express days and when mail was super yeah. important, can you imagine like the anticipation of mail
oh, yeah.
and the importance of it back then?
And especially when it was even slower than that, when it might have took 6 months to get a letter.
And like know? How special that oh, was. We yeah. don't, mail isn't special anymore.
No, I mean, you can make it special if you just put the heart and effort in it, you know. But one thing, too, that I got thinking about when we was talking about letters, there was over 30 billion letters sent in 1945 at the start of World War II.
Oh.
30 billion.
Yeah.
And how many of them folks were waiting around a table or waiting for a mailman to come by mm-hmm. so they could just have news,
yeah.
you know, was my child all right? Mm. But it's same way going back to them guys over there, all the soldiers, you know.
That's all they had to look
oh,
forward
yes.
to.
Oh, yes. You know, and it was a great day. I remember my dad telling me when he's in the Army when mail day came, you know, and his mother and his brother was always writing him a letter. And it was like, he said it was like having a little piece of home yeah. with you at the time, you know. So I'm all for letters. I think we should get rid of everything else and just, you know, get Pony Express back and let's get after it.
Here's an interesting fact about the Pony Express. I don't know if you know it, Kent, but they were primarily made all of orphans because it was such a hard, dangerous job that they knew pretty much these guys weren't going to make it. And so if they were orphans, no one was going to miss them.
Yeah.
I remember seeing a poster that was an old poster advertising Orphans Preferred is what it said yeah. as a job posting. So I found some of these interesting facts here. The search for, quote, snail mail clubs are up over 700% over the past year. Snail mail ideas searches on Pinterest are up 245%, along with letter ideas. So we're seeing like this younger generation are into these letter writing circles. There's communities growing specifically on letter writing. One founder of a snail mail club said, her name is Elisa, people really crave connection, especially offline. So why do you think this trend is becoming a trend?
Well, I think in one way, I think it's a little more personable. People want to try to connect. I mean, you can sit down at the computer and you can send an email, but it's not the same. It's not like getting a handwritten letter. I can remember in grade school, we had an assignment. You're going to get a pen pal. Did you ever have one
oh,
of them?
Oh, gosh. Do you remember pen pals? That was such a cool thing.
It was.
And I remember, so I grew up in Nevada, and we had pen pals in Atlanta, Georgia. And so talk about like a total cultural yeah. difference. And that's what I loved about it.
But I think it's a connection people want. They look for that. It's not like being able to talk face to face, but it's the next best thing to me. You know, when you're writing a letter to someone, if it's truly something that's coming from your heart, you feel it. It's hard to express so much of the feelings you have in an email and also in writing. But my mother always told me when we'd get a letter from someone that we hadn't heard from a long time ago, and she'd read it, and then we'd go back and read it again, you know, because sit at the table, you'd get the letter, and you'd read it, and you'd get to a certain spot. Aunt Pat had surgery, you know. Mm-hmm. Then there'd be a discussion all the way around the table, you know, what's wrong with Aunt Pat? I didn't even know who Aunt Pat was at the time, you know. But it, I think it brings about a little more sense of, I may not be there, but I'm pretty close.
You know, in that same sense, journaling, I think, I don't know if journaling died so much, but I feel like it has had a little bit of a resurgence too. You have your great-grandmother's journals?
Diary, yeah. When she come across the river from Breckenridge, Texas, and crossed over into Oklahoma on a wagon, you know, and she wrote in that diary every day until she went blind, you know, and it's...
Why do you think that was important for her back then?
I think in one way she's trying to preserve things that they had, but also being able to pass them down to the next generation. My mother used to start out the year every year. She'd write on the calendar every day, just two or three little things. Windy and cold today, but so-and-so come by.
On the calendar?
On the calendar. And it's sort of a way of like having a diary, but you sort of speak of it, but...
But also, it's a reflection for us because when you have read some certain passages from that diary,
yeah,
it was hard.
Oh, so hard. You know, I remember one instance that she wrote in the diary there. They lived not too far from where her son lived with his wife, which was half a mile away.
Well, okay, so let me, for those of you that might be just new to us or not know this, so describe like the area and everything of where...
Southwest Oklahoma, not far off the banks of the Red River. And this was before the Dust Bowl. This would be right after the Dust Bowl.
Oh, right afterwards.
Yeah,
okay,
and the Great Depression was going on. And Aunt Ola, who was married to Uncle Murph, which was my grandmother's son, they were expecting a child. And she said, Ola told me she would leave a lantern lit in the window that I could see. Now, this is a quarter mile off. If she needed help. The lantern come on and she needed help. And she lost that child, you know. But there were hard times.
Yeah.
You know, very hard. And I think... Because they had no way to communicate with people. Like, there wasn't no telephone back then, you know. And sure, you could have saddled a horse and rode up there and seen what was going on. But they had kinfolks in Franklin, Tennessee. They had kinfolks in Virginia. And Daddy said they might get one letter a month, sometimes two. But everybody gathered around the table, and you read that letter over and over. Mm-hmm. And it made you feel like you were there, mm-hmm. you know. So... letters are a powerful thing, you know.
And not only letters, like I said, like this resurgence of kind of old school activities,
yes.
tactics, methods. This was interesting. In 2025, American vinyl sales grew for the 19th consecutive year, exceeding 1 billion. Also, there's a renewed interest in purchasing of film, board games, letters, musical instruments. So... Why is it that we're moving away from screen time, or why are we trying to?
I think to bring back togetherness, to bring back a family group. Sure, you may have worked all day in the office and been at a computer all day, but when you get home, you got to open it up. Break out the Monopoly. You know, let's lay her out there on the table and let's get everybody to play.
Well, okay, so I would like to ask you, kind of seeing both sides of this, you grew up in an environment where there was no technology. It was very family-oriented, one-on-one time, passing down to generations skills and memories. So what's that like versus now where screens and technology have taken over so much more?
Well, I can get up on my soapbox on that. I better not start, you know.
That's why you got a podcast.
Yeah. I think one thing that we had back then that was so precious was everybody mattered. Everybody even had a responsibility. And that all come together a lot of times at mealtime, which was a lot of times an evening meal, you know, at supper, because maybe daddy and them been out working. Maybe we'd just got home from school not too long ago. But it was a time that you got to meet.
What was the big activity? Like, so now I think we're watching movies or we're scrolling on TikTok. That's kind of like our downtime. What was your downtime activity?
Not getting beat.
How'd that go?
I needed more beatings than I ever got. You know, I can remember grandma and them had one of them big old radios, you know, great old big things in a console, had the rounded top on it. And you'd sit in the living room or something, they'd turn that on, you know, and you'd catch radio shows, you know. And when we got TV, we had one of them big screen TVs, first one we got, I think it was like 13-inch black and white. And it was the greatest thing ever, we thought, you know. Until we found out that Grandma Love Lawrence Wilt was going to have to watch 73,000 episodes. But
so you did take to technology then a little bit.
Yeah, it was very different. Nobody had it, you know. I can remember talking about during the poor times and grandmother and them and all them. When they were running electricity for the first time, coming through there after the Depression, you had to have $5 to sign up. They didn't get it the first trip because nobody had the money. You know, so when you got electricity, you might have one light bulb in the house. But after supper, there was always homework. Oh my gosh, I despised homework.
I think homework still exists, unfortunately. Yeah.
And then it was, do you got your chores done?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you might have a deal to where, hey, get your coloring book out.
Well, you guys, like as a family, you were big on dominoes, right?
Yeah, dominoes and cards.
Okay. You know. What were the card games?
Well, we played a lot of Rummy.
Okay.
You know, and then daddy and some of the older people, they played a card game called Rook. Had a black crow on it. I never did play it. But we played a yacht, like Yahtzee.
Yeah.
You know, we had a lot of that. And there was some board games, not a lot. I can remember when we got Monopoly, you know, we thought that was the grandest thing ever in the world. But I think that was a time where family got together. You cleared off a table. There might be a group of old men over here on one side of the room that was playing dominoes, and then or maybe the kids was playing something else, some kind of card game, or working on a jigsaw puzzle. They was pretty popular at the time. But everybody was just in usually one room. And it was all about visiting, having a good time, and then mom would ruin it.
Why would she ruin it?
Time to take a bath, go to bed.
Bath time.
Yeah. And me being the youngest, I got to use the same bath water that everybody else had, so you didn't waste none, you know. So I think back then things were a lot simpler. And it wasn't just that it affected our family, or I shouldn't say affected, I'd say blessed. The methods and the ways and the means that we got to go through life, you know?
So I think it's like this nostalgia vibe that everybody's feeling, but it's weird because it's nostalgia that nobody else has experienced, yeah. Right? So, I mean, and I'm talking about like these younger generations that are creating these revivals, which is interesting.
Yeah.
They're creating the revivals of things that they don't have a memory of necessarily. So why is that?
I think they're grasping at something they wish they had. They missed out. I think the generations today have missed out on a lot of things. And there was hard times, but they were good times also. And they want to know how. I remember a lot of people when I thought I was getting old, you know, 15, 16 years old.
And people, in your wise years.
Yes. And people would, some of them native kids that come to visit that were from out of state, you know, that didn't have a clue what was going on a farm or ranch deal. And they'd say, how do y'all survive? You know, how far is it to town? Can we go to town? You know, and I think the generation now that's grew up in this wishes they could slow down a little,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's why they're looking back and thinking, hey, these wasn't such hard times, such bad times. These were times where maybe life was at a slower pace to where we could see it all a little clearer than what we do now and even have a better time doing it.
What I've noticed is the lack of focus and attention. And I especially notice that. And even from like a business sense, I have noticed that our attention span has lessened so much, even mine. I'm like, what? You got to entertain me, and you got to entertain me in 0.01 seconds. So what are you going to do?
It's pretty quick.
So that's what I think is interesting. It's these older activities that we're looking at are creating more focus, more time, more energy, where it's not so multitasking. Because I have a huge issue with multitasking. And I think that's a lot of environment and the technology that creates that.
You know, you always seen that deal to where there was the tortoise and the hare in the race.
Right.
You know? I think our generation, we could run as fast as anybody. But you miss so much by going so fast and being in such a hurry. And that turtle got to see it all. You know, you don't walk around life with your head tucked back under that shell. If you slow down, take time, you're going to learn a lot more. You're going to live a lot more. And I guarantee you'll have a better time.
Like if you just look at like the playing cards.
Oh, yeah.
That creates an intentional one-on-one interaction.
Yeah.
So you physically can't be checking your phone or doing something else. Like you have to engage with that person and with that card game.
Yeah.
When we're on Facebook or we're messaging or we're texting somebody, it doesn't require that one-on-one connection. Cause I can be texting somebody, I can be cooking something, and I can be watching TV all at the same time.
That's gifted.
Not successfully on any of those, but that's what happens.
Yeah.
Right. The thing that I really love about this new resurgence is the permanence of it. And what I mean by permanence is, Kent, if you write me a letter, that is something tangible that I have, that I can hold, that I can put away and get back and reread. I'm not doing that with a text message.
Well, I think a lot of it too. Say somebody sends, let's say they send you a Christmas card, and everybody loves to get a Christmas card. You know what I mean? And it's got a really special message with it. A lot of times you get a magnet and you'll stick that card on a refrigerator or something, and it may stay all year. You get a text message somewhere, I hope you're feeling better, see you next week, you know? Don't mean that. I mean, it's just one of them deals. It's because it's, I think we've got too convenient.
Or like, think about the old recipe cards.
Oh, yeah.
I have some that from like my grandma, and it's the old, and they're printed. It's like from the kitchen of Nana. And you got the old card and maybe it's stained. It's got Nana's spaghetti recipe all over it. And you're like, oh, this is, you know, this is tangible. This is, I can hold it and I can feel it. Even like cookbooks are the same way. I don't get the same feeling. Like it's super easy if I go online and I'm on a website and I look at the recipe.
Yeah.
But it's not the same. Even with like photographs, how many of us are constantly taking shots with our phone?
Oh.
Has anybody ever printed those out?
You know, in my billfold, still to this day, I have a photograph. In billfold so long ago, they had a little photograph index deal in there. You know, stick them in the little plastic deal. You might have 5 or 6 pictures in there.
Oh my gosh, I remember those. Yeah. Yes.
And I carry a picture of you and the Beagle and Major on top of my driver's license, you know?
That just tells you how much things have changed. I don't know if they make wallets. I think wallets always came with that insert with the flip photo thing.
Yeah.
Because that tells us like photos were so important.
They were special.
And just the, it was that, again, that physical thing. You had to go, you had the physical film, you had to go have it developed. Now we have billions more photos, more access to photos. I don't even know how many photos I have in my phone. I've maybe printed out 1 or 2. So it's weird, right? It's a weird balance. We have so much more access, yet are we even taking advantage of that access?
Well, and do you carry it with you everywhere? You can carry a phone in your pocket, but is that picture in your heart? When you take a picture of someone and you either print it out or you got it in a frame, you captured that moment in a special way. And it'll never leave your mind because you can walk by there every day through the house and I see a picture of the beagle that we took. You know, we got cards and letters a lot of times, and what made some of them so special was they had pictures in them.
Oh.
You know, they would send them old Polaroids. Remember them snapshot cameras?
Those were
stick her out.
Those
you know?
Were great.
And stick them in that envelope,
yeah.
Send them with you.
Oh, right? Yeah.
You know, me and Uncle Leroy, we're at Beavers Bend State Park. We just want to show you this picture. We weren't there, but we could see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would read the letter of what all went on. They caught some fish. It was nearly as good as being there. We didn't have to clean them.
We talked about this in a previous episode on how to fix things. And this kind of goes along in the same avenue of the competency that we've had, like where... You know, we're sharing letters, we're sharing time,
yeah.
And but we're also sharing skills.
Yes.
You talked about like passing down certain skills, how to sew, how to mend something, how to fix the tire. You know, I'm hoping that that aspect of the revival is also coming back. Are you seeing that, do you think?
I think so in some ways. There's people are trying to be a little more self-reliant. And I know when that podcast come out about how to fix things, and one guy left a comment and he said, you know, we ain't got to know how to fix it. You got to just be smart enough to pull up YouTube.
And I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah.
And I said that in that episode. That was the main lesson I wanted to say. You don't have to know it, but you need to know how to find
it. Or who to call.
And who to call. Yeah. Who's going to be your lifeline?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go back to the box.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Can I pull that back up?
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, I want to tell people something, too. It doesn't have to be a special occasion. It can be a Monday. It can be a Friday. To send somebody a letter or a card, I mean, sure, everybody likes to get a phone call. But when you can take the time to sit down, and a lot of them letters that I wrote you so long time ago was with pencil.
When did you start writing to me?
The day after you give me your address.
Well, but why, like you kind of said this before, I want you to go a little deeper. Like, why was writing so important to you? Because you could have easily done something else.
Well, one, you live a long way away. And number two, I was busy. I was cooking on one ranch from the next ranch to the next ranch.
Yeah, but letter writing takes so much longer than like, hey, the text message, like, hey, hope you're doing well.
Okay, let's get back to them 350,000 acres where Ma Bell never did visit to put up a telephone wire. And you can climb around on top of the wagon and hold the phone in 14,000 directions, wishing you could call someone that you loved, and you can't. And dishes is washed. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. The lantern's lit. It's cold. I got a cup of coffee. I'm sitting by Bertha. And what? There's a notebook there.
Let me back up, because for people who don't know, you started writing really a lot, I remember, when you would go on ranches.
Yeah.
You were living in Oklahoma. I was living in Denver
yeah.
at the time. And so you're on these ranches. You are taking a step back in time.
Yeah.
Because everything is... no electricity, no running water.
Good times.
You're cooking with fire, coals. You're probably 70 miles from a paved road.
Yeah, and ain't no mailbox.
And once you do your tasks of cooking and cleaning and everything, there is a lot of quiet downtime reflection, which is good.
Yeah.
And that's when you start writing. I pulled up this one.
Uh-oh.
This is...
Is it in pencil?
No, it's in... And look at that. It's... I don't know if you guys can see it, but... It's in your hand, actually pretty good handwriting, but it's in old notebook paper that you tore out. You have Monday, November 30th at the top. Well, darling, I went to bed last night thinking of you. There wasn't a breath of wind, not even a tarp flapping anywhere. You know, that quiet that is sort of like darkness. It just seems to go on forever. Not even an old coyote howling. So this is what... This was my blessing from these, because you transported me to where you were and the camp. And I think that's what writing does. And I remember I would open these and I would smell them, because they smelled like campfire.
Wood smoke.
Yes. And I thought, wow, this was literally transporting me to where you were. Oh, you even have them like numbered at the bottom here. So I knew I wouldn't lose track of what page. This one was, is this one letter? This, like, look at that. That was a lot of writing you did.
Must have been a slow day that day, knowing. But it was a way for me to express my feelings when I couldn't reach out and hold you. And to really tell you in person what you meant to me, how I got through the long days, you know, the very short nights. And I've still got letters from my mother.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. To me, there was nothing more personable than getting a letter from someone that you dearly missed and you dearly loved and you think, I can't wait to see them. And so many times I wrote so many letters on one ranch, and I went to the post office, you know, and I had an old hat. And I sent you a hat and a whole box of letters.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the mail.
Because I wouldn't get these usually like one letter at a time.
No.
Because you would write these in storm, and then whenever you got to town or had the ability to mail them out, then I would get a big old box of them.
And I remember taking it up there to the little postmistress woman. And she said, has this box been on fire? It smells like bad smoke. And I said, pretty close to it, you know. But when you got those letters, it's like, say, it transformed you to a place that you weren't in.
Mm-hmm.
You could smell it. You could see it.
And like, look at this. I can hold this. This isn't just like my phone. I mean, I've got letters. I've got cards. There's pictures in here. Like there, and just like little bitty, like you made your own card here to a lovely lady who makes every day a perfect day.
How does it feel
that we like that you can see your work here?
Well, it's not finished. Yeah, I write you something a lot. Like if we're apart, I'll write you something nearly every day. I've always, and I think it's true maybe for men, maybe more than women, and I don't mind speaking out loud to anyone in the world telling you how special you are to me or how much showed love, but to a lot of men, that's hard. I think it's might be easier if you're having trouble telling your significant other what she really means to you, and you can't just walk up to her and say, you know, I want you to sit down, I got something to tell you. You're the most beautiful person I ever met in my life. If it wasn't for you, I couldn't face another day. If you can't do something like that, write it down.
Well, that's a great thing you mentioned. Let's dive into that a little bit deeper.
Uh-oh.
With kind of this idea of the things that maybe men leave unsaid. Because when I think about letter writing, I don't necessarily connect that to like a male or necessarily like masculine kind of trait, especially in this sense where it's kind of more like love letters and emotional feelings that you're expressing. Do you think like one for you and then also men in general, is writing something down and sending it easier than saying it face to face?
I think for some people, it probably is.
No, not people. I'm talking about men.
I think for some men, it is.
Yeah.
Because I was sort of raised in a generation to where really there was a lot of men that didn't show affection.
Right.
There wasn't a lot of hugging, you know, and I sort of.
Did you talk about feelings?
Oh, you talk about if you felt bad or. You know,
well, like if you have a sore throat, but it's not like, hey, I'm having a hard, difficult time. It wasn't like that.
I didn't to my dad. I talked to my mother about it, you know, but I think it's so hard sometimes for men, especially if they didn't know that growing up, if it wasn't instilled in them, you know, that outward spokenness of love and care and understanding. And some people... I know I've had people that I've hugged that I don't think they've ever had a hug before, a man. You know, they're like, you know, hugging's good. You know, it's I always tell people if I meet somebody, I'm saying, I'm a hugger. And you love every day like it's the last day you got because you never know. But I think for men, it's probably easier for some men to write out some words. And it might even be easier for them to stick it in a mailbox than to actually walk up there with their hand shaking and give it to them, you know.
Do you think there is a more importance on the ability to talk about your feelings versus writing your feelings? Or is it okay just as long as the feelings are getting out, does it matter?
Well, I think first you have to deal with courage in some of it. You can't store all these feelings, whether they're of anger, anxiety, fear, love. them are put in you for a reason, for you to relay them, for you to share them. And I don't know, to me, what brings me more gratification is probably to write you something and then to read it to you.
Oh, for you to actually read it to me? Oh, interesting.
Because I know when you read it, and I ain't got the best penmanship in the world, you know, sometimes you might think, you know, this word is not in the dictionary. I don't even know what this word is. But when I go through it, I think it's a way of translation where there's nothing lost. Like when you got all these letters there and you read them, I tried to, and I'm not, at the time, I wasn't the greatest writer in the world. But I tried to paint you a picture and tell you exactly what you meant and show you what was exactly going on in life. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're having trouble communicating, and it could be with your brother, it could be with your sister,
it
could
be
with somebody you love or somebody, you know, hey, I met you, but, you know, I really don't know if we're on the same page in life. And I mean, don't write them an angry letter, you know. I've had some of them from school teachers, and I had to take them home to mama, and that was not good either. But it's expression is more. And it's just not the expression on your face. It's the expression on your heart. And my mother told me, where is your heart? I said, it's right here, mama. What is connected to your heart? I said, everything. She said, your hands are an extension of your heart. When you put that pencil in your hand or you put that rolling pin in your hand, let it come from your heart. I did not do well in high school in any kind of literature or writing. Made a D in speech class. I didn't like to write, and it would take me forever to write something, you know, whether it was a book report or anything else. But I think going through some tragedies in life, losing my dad, losing a lot of things, there was, in some ways, writing it down helped me get through it. So if you're having trouble communicating with someone and you don't think that you can just go face to face, write it down.
I think for men specifically, the way that you express love and support is through physical action. Like, I'm going to go clean the yard, or I'm going to go get your oil changed, things like that. So those are very important, but there maybe is a disconnect on the actual emotional feeling expression. Do you agree with that?
I do. I think you're right. Hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah.
You know, I do a lot of housework, always have. Do a lot of laundry, do a lot of cooking. Is it a form of love? Yeah. But I think sometimes you need to step back and look at it and think what love really is. You know, caring, compassionate, kind, having a lot of humility, but also taking pride in what you have and what you have together.
I'm going to say there is maybe something that the newer generations are getting better, are getting right, better than the previous generations.
And what is that?
I think it is expression and emotional needs, communication. Do you think that's true?
In some instances, I do. Maybe they had more to work with, more technology, more things.
I think it's okay. Like now society, and I think we have to be careful because sometimes it feels like we kind of go on extremes, right? It's like we're either not talking about our emotions at all, or we're talking about everything we feel. And it's just like this big, huge brain emotional dump. It's like, well, we don't need all of that. But I think it is social and culturally more common and accepted to express how you feel and to acknowledge how other people are feeling. I feel like it's just a way more open communication.
Well, I think that comes with generations.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Yeah. And it's the way it's been handed down to you. Rural communities, when I was growing up, everybody knew everybody else. You didn't have to write somebody a letter. You either get on a bicycle, ride a horse, just go down there and tell them what you was going to tell them, you know. But I am so proud in the fact that I got letters in the mail, and I wrote letters to people. You know, I think if I had something that I'd like to tell people today is when you get through listening to this, wherever you're at, I want you to think of someone, somebody. I want you to sit down and I want you to get a piece of notebook paper. Do people even still have notebooks?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Get your ink pen or your pencil out and write them a letter. Let them know you care. Tell them what's going on, how the kids are doing. Did the dog dig up the flower bed today? You know, but just the fact if you can go, because my mother would write her sister a letter once a week in Stillwater, you know, and she talked to her every night.
Oh, she did too.
But she wrote a letter every week to St. Charlotte, you know, and I wished we would get back to that. And I'm so glad that when you brought up them little percentages of how much things have grown, you know, simpler times in life to me are some of the best times there ever were.
Well, and here's the thing that I want to point out too. I think when we look at nostalgia and memories and looking back, we paint this a little more of a perfect world. Like, oh, the bygone era.
Norman Rockwell.
Yeah, wasn't it so great back in the day? And that's not really true, right? Like we fantasize this and we romanticize it a little bit. Times were hard back then. And okay, yeah, they wrote letters and they got that one right. But there was a lot of other things that were hard. So when we're moving forward now, it's great. Like these things that we need to preserve and bring back is great. We remember those things, but it's also, I think it's just recognizing now where we're at and maybe just slowing down a little bit. What can we pull from the past now that to incorporate? Let's slow down. Let's put down the screen a little more. Let's write a letter. Let's learn a new skill. Let's play a card game with somebody.
I got thinking too when you're saying that. I can remember probably fifth grades all the way up through freshman in high school. It was part of your grade in English class. You had to write a letter, you know, dear Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, comma, indent, come over. We hope, you know, and mine got so many D's because I was not a good letter writer. And I didn't know how to spell sincerely yours.
That's a tough one.
And, there wasn't spell check back then that just fixed it when you
went by. That's one thing
There was a red check mark.
We got to give it to a good old Word now that they can check us on that.
But you think they still, does anybody have to write a handwritten letter in school now?
And are they still teaching cursive?
I don't know.
I'm not exactly sure. If you guys have young kids in school, are they still teaching cursive now? I remember when I think I was maybe in fourth grade, and I was going to write a letter to my grandmother in Idaho. This was my dad's mother. And so I wrote this letter of like what was happening in school and all this stuff. And I was so proud of it. And it was like 3 pages. And I remember my dad looking at it and like, okay, great, but you need to rewrite it because your handwriting isn't as good or you need to fix this or whatever. And I'm thinking, okay, I had to rewrite that thing like 5 different times. And I remember being so mad at him. Like, what's the big deal? It should be about the message and the point of it. But I get it because it's like, I think it was an old school thing too. Like she, you know, learning to write properly and good penmanship, that was super important now. And now, I mean, gosh, we know like going to the doctor, it's all just like scratches. So there's maybe something to say about like just taking the time to do something well.
Yes.
Is also equally important. So
sometimes when I wake up at night, I write something to somebody. You know, on the community tab on YouTube, I write a story every Sunday, you know. But, and you asked me the other day, where do you come up with these? You know, it's from things I think about from the past, but also things that I think people need help with. And not just people, me also, you know. But I would dearly love for the Pony Express to come back. I really would.
I mean, it'd be pretty exciting having your letter show up on horseback.
Yeah. And you get everything in the work. We talked at the first. You get everything in the mail today. 90% of it thrown in the trash, you know. But I always look forward to that letter or that card more than anything. You know, we've got a dear friend, a lot of them out there close to San Francisco. And they always have the best Christmas cards ever. You know, and that's... Yeah. That's what it's about, to create something like you're sharing part of your life with us.
And you know what? The postcard. Let's bring the postcard back, because that's an easy in. That you don't have very big space to write in.
No.
But it's just a cool, like, hey, we went here, or even from your hometown or whatever, just a little note. And so maybe that's like, can we give you a little like lasting message, is just be a blessing for somebody today and write something and send it to them. Because think about out of the blue, you get some note from somebody, a friend, maybe somebody you haven't even heard from for a while. And what joy that can bring, and what little effort that maybe took to share that blessing. So that's what I would like to leave everybody with.
And like you said about Nana, you got a favorite recipe on an index card, or write one out, make it somebody. It's easier than taking food over. You don't have to cook it. They can cook it themselves, and then they invite you. You know what I mean? But write it down.
Write it down so it doesn't get lost.
Yeah. And if any more, I have to like write it down so I don't forget it. You know, it comes along pretty happy. But if you could write a letter today to the people, let's say from generations past, 100 years ago, and you wrote a letter to them, would it say, I wish y'all could see what we have now? Or would it say, I wished I could get back to what y'all had then?
Oh, interesting.
Know what I mean?
It's a good point. I don't know. What's your all's answer?
I'd back up.
Yeah.
Rear view mirror would be a good thing. Well, we sure enjoyed this today. I like letters, and Shan got a box full of them. There's probably two more boxes up there she didn't bring down. Take time in your life to enjoy it. And like Shan said one time, celebrate the little things in life. Mm-hmm. Write a letter. Show someone you care. Knock on the door. Take a plate of biscuits over there, okay? But we all need to be better neighbors. And we thank y'all so much from the bottom of our hearts for taking time out of your busy day, whether you watch us on our YouTube channel or you're listening on Spotify or Apple. Don't forget, every Sunday there is a new podcast. Every Wednesday there is a new cooking video. But we thank you so much. But it is with pride, privilege, and honor that I tip my hat to all the servicemen and women, all the veterans that have kept that old flag flying. We commend you, we do, and we lift you up in prayer daily. Darling, thank you for being my love. Thank you for reading them letters. God bless you, each and every one. We'll see you down the podcast trail.
Pioneer.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.